Today we're going to be looking at the first part of the story of Ruth. Ruth is a wonderful story in Scripture. And please let me remind you, when I use the word story, I do believe that these are true. I'm not using the word story in the sense that this is something that's made up. Okay, this is a story about one of the ladies that is in Jesus' genealogy. If you look in the book, in the Gospels, and you read the genealogies of Jesus, this is one of four ladies whose name appears in his family tree. Very important story for us. Listen to these words as I read the beginning of the chapter. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is a powerful story. I've only read the first and the beginning part of it, and I hope and pray that you will take some time to read the rest of the story. It's not that long. It's only four chapters, and I read almost of all of chapter one for you. So I hope maybe this afternoon or tomorrow you will take some time to read the other three chapters and find out why Ruth is in our Bible and why it is so important. But this is a powerful story of deep commitment and devotion. An incredibly powerful story of deep commitment and devotion. You see, Elimelech, which his name means God is my king, is what his name means. He takes his wife Naomi and his two boys when there's a famine in the land of Judah and goes across the Jordan River to the land of Moab, distant kinfolk. And he goes to live with them because they have plenty to eat over in Moab. And while he is over there, he dies. Naomi is now a widow. Her two sons find wives among the Moabites. Not people who grew up closely connected with the same religion of following the Lord God Adonai. Even though they're distant kin folks, they started out there, but they didn't finish there. They find wives among these Moabite women. And it says after 10 years, the two sons die. Now Naomi has no family left other than her daughters-in-law. That's all that's left. And even by the scriptures, what should happen then is they are free to go back to their families because there are no other brothers that they can marry. Now, there's a passage here that we're like, wait a minute. Naomi says, what? Naomi says, even if I got a husband tonight, and even if tonight I had a husband and had two sons, would you wait until they grow up to marry them? And we all go, oh, that's a silly thought. Because that's not something that would happen in our day and age. But in their day and age, what would happen is, say my brother had gotten married and he died, and they had no children when he died. By Old Testament understanding, it's my responsibility as his brother to take his wife as my wife and to have children with her that will be his children, to carry on his name and his family and their possessions. That is Old Testament understanding. It's called the Levitical brotherhood. And there is that responsibility, and there's even one who comes to Jesus trying to trick him with a question and says, hey, there were seven brothers, Jesus. And the first brother married a wife, and they didn't have any children. So the second brother married her, and they didn't have any children. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh married her, and none of them had any children. And we all go, what kind of messed up family is that? Don't we? And the person asked Jesus, tell me when they all get to heaven, whose wife's she going to be? Which one of the seven? And Jesus says, there's no such thing as husbands and wives in heaven. That's not what heaven is about. You see, Naomi tells her daughter-in-laws, go back home. Go back home and be with your people. Ruth is given the freedom to go back to her own family. Go back and live with them. I'm sorry, in Ruth's day and age, women were property of men. So now that there is no man left in this family, she technically becomes property of her father again. And she's allowed to go back, and Naomi says, I want you to go back. She tells not only Ruth, but Orpah, go back to your families. Go and find you another husband. Raise children. Raise a family. And at first, Orpah says, no, I don't go back. I'm going to stay with you. And Ruth says the same thing. Naomi speaks to him again and says, no, go back. I can't produce for you another husband. It's not possible. Go back. And it says that Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and goes back to her family. And Ruth has this incredible devotion to Naomi where she says, "Don't urge me to leave you." Listen to these words. "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if even death separates you from me." Look at this incredible, incredible devotion of Ruth. "You're my mother-in-law." By the way, this is not so much a story, I don't think, for us to take and say, see, daughters-in-law should have incredible devotions to mother-in-law. Okay? And no matter what, daughters-in-law should do whatever mother-in-law says. Notice that's not what Ruth does. So don't use this story that way, okay? Because I think there might be some that would want to use the story that way and say, see, daughter-in-law did exactly what she was supposed to do. She took care of her mother-in-law lifelong. That's not what this story is about. This story is about a woman that has incredible devotion, and not only does she have incredible devotion when given freedom to go back home, but she plans to stay with Naomi even though there is no promise of a future. She says, "I'm going to stay with you no matter what, even though there is no promise of a future." Naomi says, "I can't provide anything for you. It's not possible." And Ruth says, "I'm going to stay with you no matter what. Whether you can provide for me or not, I'm going to stay with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Where you die, I will die. Your God will be my God." And I hope you notice as you read the scripture then, that's when the word God is capitalized. And Ruth is saying, your particular God, the one that you serve, the one that is the one and only God, your God, that's the one I plan on serving for the rest of my life. Not the gods that I learned about as I grew up among the Moabites, but your God. Incredible devotion. There's no promise. There is no promise. And it's easy for me to step back and look at Ruth and say, you know what? What an incredible person. What an exact, I mean, just incredible person, right? There is no promise of a future, and she says, I go with you. Even though she's going from her homeland of Moab back to the land that's not her own and not her own people, she's going back to live in Bethlehem. This is not a place that Ruth is from, that she grew up in. It's the place that Naomi is from and grew up in. Folks, this is incredible commitment, don't you think? To say, hey, I'm going to do what you do, and I'm going to follow you. Do you realize that God desires for us to have the same commitment to the kingdom of heaven? Do you realize that? God wants us to have that same desire and that same commitment to the kingdom. And I just question, do we? Do we have that same commitment? Are we willing to go all out for it? Are we willing to say what Ruth says here? Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. Is that the commitment we have to the kingdom of heaven? Or do we have that kind of commitment to the United States of America? Don't get me wrong. I am very, very thankful that I was born and raised in the United States of America. And I'm very proud of my grandfathers who served in the Navy. Very proud of them. And what they did and what they were able to do and what they passed on to me. I'm very thankful that I live in a country where I can worship God the way I feel God calling me, the way I feel God leading me, because that doesn't happen all the way around the world. But my commitment's to the kingdom of heaven first, not to the United States of America, to the kingdom of heaven. Because that's where I'm a citizen now. That's where my citizenship is. If you want to say, I got dual citizenship now. But the one that's the most important to me is the kingdom of God. And Jesus asked me a great number of years ago, will you follow me? And matter of fact, Jesus says, if you follow me, you won't have a place to lay your head. If you follow me, there's going to be difficulty. If you follow me, you've got to deny yourself. If you follow me, there's some tough work that you're going to have to be part of. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to walk in those ways? You know, there's one great difference between the story of Ruth and our story with God asking us to have a commitment and devotion to the kingdom of heaven. And the one great difference is this. God promises a great future for us and for our community. God promises a great future for us. Ruth made this commitment with no promise for the future. None. No promise that she will be taken care of. Now, this is where I ask you to go home and read the rest of the story. She's taken care of in an incredible way. For the commitment that she made when there was no promise. God has made a promise to us that if we will put the kingdom of God first, I don't have to worry about what clothes I'm going to wear. I don't have to worry about having a shelter over my head. And I don't have to worry about having food to eat. God's promised me that. If I put the kingdom of God first. By the way, Jesus says those words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If you put God's kingdom first, all these things will be taken care of. Now, all these things are not the... Oh, shoot, Antonio's not here. All these things are not the 1964 and a half convertible Mustang that you want. That's not all these things, okay? That's not one of the things that God promises to me as I devote my life to God. I wish. I've gotten over the years, by the way, and I don't need any more. Over the years, by the way, I've gotten plenty of matchbox cars, 1964 Mustangs. I've gotten plenty of a little bit larger cars, 1964 Mustangs. You see, I need a 1964, and I'd like a 1964 and a half. That was the first ones they came out with, because my brother has a 1965 convertible Mustang. I've got to have just a little bit better than him. Now, his is in about 10,000 pieces right now. My nephew and him are putting it back together slowly but surely over decades. You see, God promises clothing, God promises shelter, God promises food if we'll put the kingdom of God first. We have an incredible opportunity for an incredible and positive future, not only for us as individuals, but for us as a community of faith, if we'll have the same kind of devotion that Ruth had. So I want to read for you one more time what Ruth said to Naomi. And I want to ask you, are you willing to follow Jesus Christ this way? Are you willing to make this same commitment to follow Jesus Christ that Ruth made to Naomi with no promise of a future? Can you say these words to Jesus? Where you go, Lord, I will go. Where you stay, Lord, I will stay. Lord, your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, Jesus, I will die, and I will be buried there. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I don't follow Jesus the way he asks. Are you willing to make that commitment? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this story about Ruth. What a powerful and a transforming and incredible story. And Lord, we've only just looked at the beginning of it. Her devotion is a dynamic and a powerful thing. And Lord, you actually are calling us to say, have the same kind of commitment and devotion to you. It's easy for us to admire Ruth and say, I think I could do the same thing in the midst of the same story she was in. But the truth is, Lord, you've given us that opportunity to show you whether we're going to be that way or not. Please help us. Please help us to commit ourselves fully to your kingdom so that we might live the blessings of the incredible future you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.